Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about today the war for the soul of America. Most people today, most as Christians in your church, perhaps you do that, you say there's a song that you can recall, and perhaps you have sung it, that says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." We sing that song so glibly and not realizing that we are, in fact, in a hand-to-hand combat. We're in a battle today, and it's the battle for the soul of America. So may I remind you that we need to understand that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Scripture is very, very clear and concise that what we study in the Word of God is the direction for our lives, and it ought to be that which we look at as the central biblicist, as we should be. We need to recognize that what God's Word says settles it. There are a lot of folks that try to face issues without the realization and the recognition of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what he said to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Truth is something that is objected to and rejected today. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any time in history today, any more than today as we're facing it, where there's an absolute animus, a hatred for those of us that stand for truth. You'd be surprised how many times I have those to say to me, and perhaps you have to you, "Well, you're just judgmental, or you're just dogmatic, or you just hate people." And sometimes it might seem that way in the understanding. As Christians, we're charged with the responsibility of speaking the truth with love. We are not to be silent. We are to stand for the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, before I get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion today, let me remind you of a couple of things. This Saturday from 9 o'clock until about 4 o'clock, there'll be a lunch break with some refreshments provided. We'll have sponsored by the University, Conservative Theological University. It will be in the lunchroom here on campus at First Conservative Baptist Church, a seminar on how the only true God is revealed. How the only true God is revealed. Dr. Neil Phelps will be teaching that. He's one of the Bible College professors in the university, teaching Bible and theology. And that will be at 9 o'clock. You need to get here, but if you're not already registered, you need to get here by 8:30, 8:45 at the latest. And the doors will be open at 8:30. And the seminar lecture starts precisely at 9 o'clock. Between 12 and 1 o'clock will be a lunch break, and then 1 till 4 o'clock will be the wrap-up session. Seminar this Saturday, 9 until 4. And the title of the seminar, "How the Only True God is Revealed." And may I encourage you, if you're saved, if you're seeking to know the truth of the Word of God, you need to be in this seminar. There's a small fee charged, and also our students that enrolled in the college and university, they will be taking this as a course for credit. But you can take it just for your own edification, just for your own illumination and insight into the Word of God. Dr. Phelps will be teaching it. That's Neil Phelps, Dr. Neil Phelps, teaching the seminar, "How the Only True God is Revealed," this Saturday, June the 22nd. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. And I believe it will be a wonderful opportunity for you to broaden your understanding of the truth of the Word of God and deepen your conviction as the Holy Spirit of God speaks, that you might have opportunity to impact lives for eternity. God calls us for that responsibility as Christians. We're to be salt and light in the dark and decaying society in which we're living in. One other thing, we're searching for our church. We're searching for a pianist. We need someone as a part-time pianist that will be here on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, occasionally on Wednesday, if that time slot is available for you. And it's our prayer that someplace in our listening audience, someone has the gift, talent, and ability that God's given you to tickle the ivories, as some call it. We're looking for that part-time pianist, one that wants to use your gifts, talents, and abilities in playing the piano for the honor and for the glory of God. We'd love to talk with you. You can call 262-7777 so that we can get some insights as to where you are, what you're wanting to accomplish, and how you feel led, and then schedule something for an interview to see what God would have us to do. That's a pianist for First Conservative Baptist Church. You can call 262-7777. And let's schedule that time for us to get together and see what God would have you to do in that regard. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the war for the soul of America. I don't know if you recognize or not, but we are in a hand-to-hand combat. It is a war for the very soul of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like the pendulum has been swinging completely in the opposite direction today, away from our biblical Christian roots and foundation on which America was founded as a nation. And now there is openly and fully the rejection of God and the persecution of Christians. I don't know if you realize or not, but there are so many things. In fact, I could go into what I would call a scattergun approach and give us the overview of the loose ends that's being tied together now. And those loose ends are becoming codified in state laws, municipal laws on a municipal level, on city and county laws, and on a national level where laws are being passed, rules and regulations are being passed, that's literally destroying, attempting to destroy, with the future goal of overthrowing the Christian foundation of America. Our nation was founded on biblical Christian principles and fundamentals of the faith. And there, no more, ladies and gentlemen, is that being sought today. In fact, here's an article that says 37 California lawmakers trying to pass ACR 99, which would make preaching the whole counsel of the Bible to the LGBT community a crime. The article further says California Assemblyman Evan Lowe, that's E-V-A-N, last name Lowe, and three dozen other lawmakers are pushing resolution ACR 99 in the State Assembly's Judiciary Committee that's aimed at telling religious leaders in California that they should not preach from their pulpit, what they should preach from their pulpits. Ladies and gentlemen, that was tried a few years ago in the resolution in Texas where a sodomite female mayor was trying to subpoena the preaching records and the preaching CDs and DVDs of the pastors in the pulpits, and were passing regulations in Houston that would make it illegal and a crime for a preacher, a pastor, to preach against the LGBTQ society in the community and to preach the full counsel of the Word of God. This article further says the attacks on Christianity in America are coming so fast and so often now that it's nearly impossible to keep up with all it at the same time. But in a nutshell, this writer said the pendulum is swinging all the way from a nation that was founded on Christianity and the Bible to a nation that's openly rejecting and ultimately persecuting and prosecuting Christianity and the Bible. Further in this article, this writer says, "It is my personal belief, based on my nearly 30 years of studying the Scripture, that America is right now under the active judgment of God, which as near as I can figure began under President Obama back in 2012. Over the past 7 years, we have watched the LGBTQ pedophile movement rise to the level of power and control once thought unimaginable in this war for the nation's soul, or the soul of America. To be neutral is to concede defeat." The question he asked this particular writer, what side are you on? And it says the California lawmakers are trying to force pastors to embrace the pro-LGBTQ ideology. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in this law that's attempting to be passed in California. And the reason it's so ultimately important, it's not just a matter of it being hidden on the West Coast or the Left Coast, as it is called. It's not a matter of saying, well, I can be silent as a Christian because it doesn't affect me. It's 3,000 plus miles away. It's not a matter of saying that what Nancy Pelosi does and the House and what is taking place in the Senate with House Bill 5, which will literally strangle Christianity in America. Multitudes of Christians are silent, saying that I can leave it alone and just pray and talk about Jesus and everything's okay. This particular writer in this article says the California Family Council reports that Assembly Concurrent Resolution 99 calls on counselors, pastors, religious workers, educators, and institutions with great moral influence to stop perpetuating the idea that something is wrong with the LGBTQ identities of sexual behavior, those that identify as being perverts, if you will, please. The article goes further to say, two formerly gay individuals, Pastor Ken Williams and Elizabeth Wanning, argue against the resolution, calling it discriminatory against people like themselves who overcame suicidal thoughts by following their faith away from their LGBTQ identities. They now lead a ministry called Equipped to Love that helps others like them to find health and wholeness. This article continues. Assemblyman claims that this resolution has the support of some California religious leaders, other pastors and religious leaders with traditional view on gender and sexuality are publicly opposing the ARC 99. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that was a mouthful, but I wanted to read you several of the brief paragraphs out of this five-page article that sets the stage with what is so paramount for us to understand today. It is literally, ladies and gentlemen, it is though the openly sodomite movement today has lawmakers. These lawmakers have chosen to bring America under the judgment of God. I believe that we're seeing that today. We're seeing the ever-increasing judgment of God on a nation that's saying no to God, on a nation that has basically said, in fact, has coined the congressman from Tennessee said a few weeks ago that it's hard to have God in the temples, hard to have God in a synagogue or in the churches or cathedrals, but God has no place in Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we've done. We've banned God from the halls of Congress. We've banned God from the public arena. We've banned God in prayer in the classroom. And somehow, some way, we're watching that vacuum being filled with the LGBTQ sodomite movement today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Democrats passed House Bill 5 with a vote of 240 in the House, and it's now in the Senate, that will literally make criminals out of Christians and churches. This proposed law forces churches and religious organizations to have open bathrooms that the sexually confused can enter into, whether it's male or female. It will force churches to provide insurance for murder by way of abortion for those that want it. It will literally, ladies and gentlemen, Christians could be persecuted and prosecuted for not embracing the LGBTQ agenda. It makes the LGBTQ sodomite agenda dominant, and Christians and religious people, religious organizations, would be subservient to the tentacles of that law if it is ultimately passed into law that will absolutely destroy the churches and Christians and silence the voice of Christians today. Christians will lose their First Amendment right of freedom of religion and religious free speech if that bill becomes law in the United States of America. And bills similar to that, ladies and gentlemen, on piecemeal, parceled out basis are taking place across America and in city after city and county after county and in different areas across America, and states are adopting those laws. They're called the HROs, human rights ordinances. And I call them the human reprobate ordinances because they're called reprobates. The sodomites are referred to as reprobates in Romans chapter 1. And so if we call it a biblical name, that's what we would call it. Ladies and gentlemen, today it seems that the LGBTQ agenda is to recruit our children. Keep in mind, the sodomite community cannot procreate. They can only recruit. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's happening under the guise of sex education in our schools today. Our children are being taught all kinds of perversions and preyed upon by those school systems and teachers that's supposed to be protecting them and teaching them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about war for the soul of America. You tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can jump in this dialogue and discussion, ask your question, give your responses or whatever you'd like to do by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to our studios and right to our microphones. We can have dialogue. Perhaps you disagree with me. Perhaps you're in a denomination today, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that you're not. Perhaps you're in a religious Christian denomination, so-called Christian, that's openly embracing the sodomite lifestyle of the sodomite preachers and pastors and religious leaders. Perhaps you're in that kind of church. If you are, call me. I'd like to hear why you're still there based on the authority of Scripture. How do you align your position in staying in a denomination like that with what the Word of God says? And I'll simply say, if that is the case, shame on you. You need to study the Word, know the Word, recognize the Word, and be obedient to what the Word of God says that we ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about the condition of those in our nation today that are religious leaders, spiritual leaders, leaders in our churches. Perhaps you're a pastor that's listening, and you think that somehow, some way, it's all right to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. J.D. Greer, the pastor out of North Carolina, 46 years old, that's now the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, says that the sodomite, the LGBTQ lifestyle, is no greater sin than gluttony. He goes on to say it's somehow an affliction and not a real sin, and it's pushing the convention to embrace that, and ultimately that's what's going to happen in the convention. We'll talk about that in one of our broadcasts next week, by the way, of what's happening in the convention and how it's going the direction of all other denominations today and the approval of and the embracing of that which is unholy, ungodly, and unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned about that condition in our nation and what we're doing in relationship to that. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible is very, very clear on what we should do and how we should respond to it. Here's an article that's not in America, but it fits where we are and what we're saying. UK, that's United Kingdom, kids victims of transgender experiments. Five children at a gender clinic in the United Kingdom have quit, blowing the whistle on allegations that children as young as 3 years old are going through unneeded gender reassignment treatments. The Christian Institute was among the groups reporting the allegations against the National Health Services Gender Identity Development Services Clinic, or known as GIDS, in London and Leeds. In November, the GIDS in London was accused of fast-tracking children through its system. An Oxford professor now says the center is performing live experiments on children by sending them to the life-changing medical intervention clinics. Ladies and gentlemen, we say, well, that's in London and that's not here. But ladies and gentlemen, something very, very similar is taking place in America. Our schools across America today are allowing drag queens to come in and teach story hour in our schools as young as 3, 4, 5 years of age. And it was recently discovered that some of those drag queens had been hired by the school system to come in and teach that. By the way, when they do that, they're simply recruiting our kids. They're recruiting at the age 3, 4, 5, and 6 years of age. And it was discovered some of those drag queens were absolutely criminals. They had been convicted pedophiles, and they're being brought into our school system to recruit our kids under the perversion and being preyed upon by the school system, by those very ones that's supposed to be protecting them and teaching them the general academics as should be taught. The schools are having these drag queens come in into the classrooms, and they are absolutely, in many occasions, convicted pedophiles, and yet the schools are defending them and protecting them in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says police in Spokane, Washington, used rooftop snipers to protect drag queen story hour while Baptist pastor preaching the gospel is arrested. Perhaps you didn't hear that title. You didn't hear the caption on this article. At the risk of redundancy, let me read it again. Police in Spokane, Washington, used rooftop snipers to protect drag queen story hour while Baptist pastor preaching the gospel is arrested. The article says a Baptist pastor was arrested and jailed on Saturday after refusing to move across the street from the Spokane, Washington Public Library while exercising his free speech against a drag queen story hour. The event had a significant militaristic police presence, including camouflage snipers positioned atop the roof to oversee the large crowd that stood both for and against the men dressed like women reading stories to the children. This article further says, we're living in a time where spiritual darkness is rising to such a degree that it's beginning to overtake the light of the gospel of the grace of God. But this is how the Bible said it will go in the last days. That means that a Baptist pastor who just wants to preach the gospel outside of the drag queen story hour is now the enemy, and the transgenders who want to read sex stories to children are now protected by armed officers atop the rooftops and becoming snipers. This writer says, welcome to the end time, and buckle up, because things are only going to get worse in the days that are before us. And he's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize where we're living and what is taking place in the society in which we're living in today. We're living in dark days, difficult times, and in times where I believe there's a need to be found faithful as no other time in the history of our great nation. We need to recognize the dangers that are looming ahead, and we need to take a stand as Christians and not allow it to in some way intimidate us into silence. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching the net being drawn on America as we're watching the war for the very soul of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you take away the moral, ethical, biblical, fundamental foundation of our nation, you have, as I use the term, pulled the rug out from under society, and it then will be waffling with no absolutes and no, if you please, opportunity or ability to be salvaged as a nation. I am gravely concerned with what we're seeing today taking place. Here's an article that says, Top Teen Magazine calls for the legalization of prostitution. Already known for articles advertising, advising youth on how to hide an abortion from their parents and how to engage in perverted sex, Teen Vogue magazine has published an op-ed advocating prostitution to its younger readers. The magazine says, and I quote, The clients who seek sex workers vary, and they're not just men. The idea of purchasing intimacy and paying for the services can be affirming for many people who need. Ladies and gentlemen, this is in a teen magazine. Listen to what I'm reading that's published in the teen magazine, and it's going for the soul of America through our youth, through our kids today. The idea of purchasing intimacy and paying for services can be affirming for many young people who need human connection, friendship, and emotional support. Some people may have fantasies and kinks, preferences that they are able to fulfill with the services of a sex worker. The writer goes on to say in the Vogue, Teen Vogue magazine, a promotion of this article by Teen Vogue's Twitter account says, yes, sex work is real work. And then the article further says, Teen Vogue magazine defended its guide to perverted sex by calling concerned parents homophobic, end quote. You see, if we object to this garbage, if we as parents take a stand, if we as moral ethical citizens today say, no, 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 it is wrong, it's immoral and ungodly, then the, if you please, the errors are turned on us, and we become the homophobics, the Islamophobics, the misogynists. We become the ones that are wrong, and we're accused of being narrow-minded and hate speech. That's where we are in America today. But the reality, ladies and gentlemen, of the LGBTQ lifestyle is that of misery, unhappiness, guilt, and a high rate of suicide. Did you know that? Did you know that in the LGBTQ community, and it is less than 2% across the nation as far as the actual percentage, but as a result of that, they carry the highest percentage of suicide or suicidal thoughts or suicidal attempts in the United States of America today? It is because of their misery, unhappiness, and guilt that is causing this high rate of suicide. Don't let anyone deceive you into believing that somehow, some way, the sodomite lifestyles are that way because they're born that way. It is simply not so. God created male and female, the scripture says in Genesis 1:27. It says, if God created a sodomite, if God created one that has a propensity to be a sodomite or transsexual or a having sexual dysphoria, if God created them that way, then, ladies and gentlemen, God made a mistake, and there's no place in the Bible where God made a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. As you look at the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, you find that everything that he created, he looked at it and said, and it was good. He didn't create a mistake. He didn't create an error. He didn't create a him and shem. He created a male and female, a man and a woman. Everyone is born, though, by the way, with the propensity to sin. Sin is a choice. The LGBTQ lifestyle is contrary to God's word and God's will, and those that are in the LGBTQ lifestyle are living in known sin. They use the foray and the cover and the sham that God made me this way. And it's anybody that has love for someone else, then it's God's love and it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie being perpetrated upon society today. And multitudes are believing the demonic lie, and they're allowing that to be the movement in their lives as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it lists 10 categories of sin that will die and go to a devil's hell. I know some months back, we had on our marquee out front that sodomites are going to die and go to hell lest they repent. You would have thought I'd attack the president, ladies and gentlemen, with the barrage of calls and hate mail and hatred and the attempt to deface the marquee because they didn't like the message. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it lists the unrighteous that are rejected. I call it God's no-fly list. The fornicators, the idolaters, the effeminate, and the abusers of self with mankind. And both of those terms, ladies and gentlemen, talk about male lewdness or female lewdness, and it's talking about those that have the lifestyle of a homosexual or a sodomite, as the Bible calls it. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no repentance under salvation, whatever lifestyle you're living that's away from the Word of God, you will die and go to hell. So when I say that, it's not just picking on or picking out the sodomite lifestyle, but it's a fact of the biblical scripture. It's a fact that God in Romans chapter 1 has turned them over to a reprobate mind, the scripture says. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear. The consequences of denying God, rejecting God, and living as you want to, the scripture says in verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, God gave them up to uncleanliness. In verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. Verse 28, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today in the lifestyle and the agenda of the LGBTQ community. May I remind us, it's a matter that of choice and a choice to say no to the Word of God and what God's Word says and to reject it. Here's an article that says, it's not gay to straight, it's lost to saved. A lesbian reveals how God radically transformed her view on homosexuality. I believe that you need to listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, to what I'm saying and a brief summary of this article that's before me. By the way, you can dial 831-0917 and join in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got a question or a challenge to what I'm saying today. This article says it's not gay to straight, it's lost to say. A lesbian reveals how God radically transformed her view on homosexuality. Emily Thomas was 15 years old when she started dating a girl who lived down the street from her. Shortly after that, she came home with a hickey, as it's called, and her dad spotted it. Without hesitation, she told her father, I love her. It's a girl, and I'm going to be with her. And that's just how it is. This article says Emily knew that she could either cower away from her own homosexual lifestyle, so she decided that she was going to do it on her own. She serial dated women for years, fully justifying her actions by twisting Christianity into a religion that fit her lifestyle. Listen to what this writer's saying, this one that came out of the sodomite lifestyle. Like many people today in today's culture, Emily clung to her watered-down version of the gospel that said God being love meant God was nice and God was nice and God was chill with what you are cool with doing. Her mantra was, judge not. She wholeheartedly believed that if you were really a Christian, you were not to on her side and you were not to judge her. You were simply a legalist who needed to reread what God really said about it. That was until she attended a life-changing Bible study at the age of 22, where God completely uprooted her backward thinking and misconceptions about his character. That day, she says, is like my eyes were really open. I was amazed at the grace of God and what he had said to me and how he changed my life. For the first time, she realized she was all wrong. Along with the drunkards and other sinners, she saw that those who engaged in homosexuality were also on the list of those that would not go to heaven. Thankfully, the following were offered the following verses were offered for hope and restoration and redemption, along with those who would repent from their sinful nature by the blood of Jesus Christ, she said. Ladies and gentlemen, there's hope for those that are in that lifestyle. They need to understand the Word of God. They need to listen to the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak. But because so many have lived that lifestyle, the conscience is so seared that God's turned them over to a reprobate mind, and change seemingly is impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what's happening in America today, warfare, the war for the soul of America. And we find in Liberty Counsel's news article, he says, our freedom to defend the unborn will be destroyed. Our right to advocate for the sanctity of marriage and the family will be prevented. The freedom to share the gospel will be blocked. The right to teach our children to boldly stand for the biblical truth in culture increasingly hostile to the Word of God will be lost lest we take a stand. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be silent no more. We need to take a stand and understand and realize the declension that we're in as a nation, where there's truly a war that is taking place for the soul of America. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.